Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, how you guys doing? Elsie, John, Shlemiel, Shlemazel, Hassan Pfeffer, Incorporated.
Hello. How's it going? I guess we have to take care of some business here right up from the get-go, right?
I know. We're all down to business. Yeah, well, before we get started, we wanted to talk about a new sponsor called Mike Me. Mike Me is a company that does custom intros and outros and editing. If you want to check them out, it's micme.com, M-I-C-M-E.com. You can get 10% off your first intro and outro with promo code SHEPODCASTS. They also do editing. I just want to make sure that you can spell it right. It's M-I-C-M-E. M-I-C-M-E.com. Okay. Also, we have a sample of what they did. They did the intro and outro for the feed for Elsie's other show, right, Els?
Yes, he did. He totally did. He's amazing. I love Nick, and I always give him shout outs there. So if you want to listen to a tiny few seconds of his work, here it is.
The feed.
That was cool.
Yay.
It's so powerful.
I know.
It just smacks you in the face with power.
I like it because we also had some good feedback after I changed it. So thank you, Nick. And you guys reach out to micme.com for your intros and outros with 10% off using the code. Is that right? The promo code SHEPODCAST altogether.
Yeah, with an S. Don't forget the S. Moving on, yeah. We want to tell you about the E-League.
Well, actually, what I wanted to talk about, sorry, Jess, we had that there, but I kind of wanted to first let our people know where I'm recording today, just to do a little bit of a catch up, because we had to change the way that our schedules and all kinds of stuff, and the school year is a little bit different. And so now, instead of recording at like 11 in the morning, which is when I was recording in the past, we are recording in the afternoon on Wednesday, and on the afternoon on Wednesdays, we are in town. So I'm recording in town, and I'm recording at the public library. How about that? So I'm recording in the computer room at the public library, and I get a chance to kind of sit here and do this.
Perfect. Are you going to get shushed?
I don't think I'm going to get judged because it's a room. This is where people do classes. And you know, when story time happens, like, you don't shush the little kids. It's closed, right? So it's right where classes happen and things like that. So just as a thought, guys, you can actually do that with your library. I think most libraries can have some rooms available, but the key is that you can't plan on it. So you don't, if you call them and you reserve a room, usually there's some kind of fee. But if you come to the library and you ask to use a room, more likely than not, they'll let you use it. How about that? So there you go.
Okay. But the one thing that I'm concerned about is you being subdued in your talking, like all of a sudden you're MPR, Elsie, and not crazy laugh, Elsie, when you hear something funny.
Well, we're going to have
Yeah, you can't be yourself, and we don't appreciate it. Look at us giving it a hard time. Finally, she found a place to podcast from, and we're like, screw you, it's not good enough.
Anyway, I just wanted to see that. And then I wanted to ask you, Jessica Kufferman, you did some fun things that you didn't really let me know ahead of time at all. Would you like to share with the people?
I went to New York City on Monday, and I did a workshop with Selena Sue and Laura Bell Gray leading it, just about like your next big idea and how to get your big idea to impact millions. That's the name of Selena's course, Impacting Millions. She's a good person for PR and getting more visibility. And Laura is a brilliant copywriter. And so they had this little mini workshop for 12 people where you could come and hang out in Selena's apartment and we would go around and like help each other become unstuck. It was really fun. It was about 8 hours. Her apartment is amazing. It's like, she lives on the 53rd floor in Midtown. So like 3/4 of the wall is windows. So you can see over the entire city of New York City. Also, not sure if you know this or not, but Selena Sue, equally as glamorous in person as she looks on video. Like however pristine her skin and her long flowing, perfectly coiffed hair, like it looks just like that in person. She's absolutely the same exact way. And you don't know, you know, sometimes when you meet someone in person, you're like, oh, like you have a face full of dark hair, like a werewolf. Okay. But nope, she does not. She is perfection glorified, or whatever that word is. Laura was extremely funny and fun and warm. It was really fun. I got to know them through B-School. Elsie, of course, does not remember them. But yeah, so they're friends from when I met Elsie. I can't believe you don't remember. Laura Belgrade is Marie Forleo's copywriter. I'm surprised you don't remember her because she was in the group a lot and so was Selena.
How am I supposed to know that? I don't know that. Plus, I'm so, I'm so introverted. I don't ask all of that stuff. I barely showed up for B-School when I did it. Meaning engaged with anybody other than our special little 2011
You
group.
Barely engaged with me. I don't remember engaging with you myself, as a matter of fact.
See?
Now that you've said it.
How am I supposed to know this thing? And plus, give me a break, dude. If I buy a course, I don't know who the heck is the copywriter for that course.
Well, that's true. It's just that she... All right, that's true. I just knew her because the name of her company is Talking Shrimp.
Oh, that's a great name.
Talking Shrimp stands out quite a bit. But anyway, I have decided after this last trip that I don't want to stay in New York City again for a really long time, unless it's for work and somebody else is paying for it. Because like when I stay in a hotel here just to get away for the night or whatever, it's like $100. It's like amazing room service, comfortable bed, lots of space. I go to New York City based on recommendation from online to a place I've never seen. It's $400. Something's always broken. And it's so tight in there that it's almost like you're staying in a friend's closet. Usually, that's what it's like. It's like, here, you can stay in my one-car garage for the night. I mean, not that like cold and damp or whatever, but sometimes it is. The buildings are so old in New York City that inevitably I come home sneezing and coughing from like smelling the mold all night. The air conditioning doesn't quite work. The heater doesn't quite work. Or there's a wet spot in the middle of the floor. That happened to me last year. This time I went in there and the air conditioning wasn't working. And they were like, well, we'll call the engineer. And then 2 minutes later, the engineer called me back and was like, yeah, we already told them that unit doesn't have air conditioning. And I was like, awesome.
Oh,
that's just after
God.
I'd already been down twice because they gave me the wrong type of room. So it's just annoying. Like people. And, you know, I had 5 hours to myself. So like I got there around 4 and I didn't have to be anywhere till 10 a.m. the next day. Normally I would see a friend for dinner, but the friend that I was planning on meeting for dinner, his wife had some kind of surgery and I guess he thought it wouldn't affect our plans because he's a numb nuts, but of course it would. So I did not end up having plans and like people always are like, go out, see the city, have a good time. And it's like, do I have to? I don't want to stand on a dirty street corner and look at my phone to figure out which fucking direction I'm going in order to find something fun to do for an hour before I'm exhausted. I'll just stay in my room. Thank you very much. So I ended up watching sitcoms on my phone in my room for like 5 hours and then went to sleep early. So it was good. It was a really good time. The mastermind was a great time, but staying in New York, I'm just over it. I'm over traveling there. I feel filthy the second I get into a train station, and I don't stop feeling filthy until the second I get home.
Oh, well, it's been so long since I've been to New York, I can't even remember.
Do you want to, I mean, do you like staying in New York? I don't even know if I've ever been in New York with you. I guarantee you Podcast Movement will be in New York soon, and I'll have to see what Elsie's like in New York, but I can imagine that it's not your most fun place. Am I wrong?
It wasn't so bad when I went. I like I said, I went once, and but I was there for like 3 or 4 days, and I was put up by a fellow person that graduated from the grad school that we went to, and I had to deal with going to meetings, agent meetings, casting calls, auditions and all of that by myself up and down the darn subway for the very first time, going into all of these like CBS and NBC and all of that stuff. And it was kind of exciting, but at the same time, it was all work. It was like, okay, here it literally was just trying to figure out where the hell I was going.
Yeah.
And then that's it. But I do have a wonderful memory of coming back to the apartment somewhere around 2 or 3 in the morning. And when you're walking down the street and smelling like donuts, fresh donuts or something that was delicious, and people eating drinking donuts, I guess, after the end of the night or something. And I thought that was very New York.
I will give you this. I've yet to just happenstance into a restaurant and not have the best meal of my life. I never pick wrong. And I don't know that you can pick wrong. I think in order to survive as a restaurant in New York City, it has to be the tits.
Right.
But that said, the getting there, the being there, the getting around while you're there, I don't know how to use the subway, nor do I intend to ever learn. So I will either do an Uber and a taxi, or I'll walk my little ass wherever I need to go. You know, the other thing I have to complain about, which is something I swear on my life, anytime we have a mastermind, I refuse to do this. Anytime I am in New York City for any kind of work function, be it mastermind in someone's home or like the podcast up front, or what was the last thing I was there for? Some kind of women's event. They have the weirdest fucking lunches. It's like these dump bowls of salad with quinoa or brown rice, or, you know, with like mushy salmon or like over marinated chicken. And like the most, like this one, it was delicious, but like I never feel full after eating this. So she had two trays, and one of them was like, instead of lettuce, it was Brussels sprouts with pickled onions and lime chicken. And I think there was some carrot in there. I'm not sure. And a lovely dressing. And then the other one was brown sushi rice, something dark, maybe spinach, and salmon and another vinaigrette. That was a little spicy. And I mean, yes, it's delicious, but like, what if I want a sandwich? How is anybody supposed to be full after eating a giant bowl of like shit that goes right through you? Not that it went through, it didn't even go right through, but I just feel like that's the stuff that you digest so fast that you're hungry in like an hour. So anyway, that happens to me every time. There's never like a normal lunch. It's like the only thing people eat for lunchtime in New York City is rabbit food. And I can't figure out why.
Well, I would fit right in. You need to have snacks in your purse.
Like when you and I did lunch, we were awesome. We had some kind of lo mein, Singapore noodles. We had rice. We had salad. We had meat. Like we had all the things so that if you just wanted to carb load your face off, you could. That's what I want. I want an opportunity to have a carb once in a fucking while. That's all I'm saying.
You want it to expand. Yeah, I understand. To expand what's absolutely necessary for your belly.
I just want to feel full. Yeah. And if there's like a tiny bit of sushi rice, I can't. Like I need to, you know, feel full.
Mm-hmm. I get it. But okay, so now we know how you feel about New York. And then at some point, we will have a debrief whenever we both experience it together. How's that?
I love it. I can't wait.
Okay, cool. So now let's go ahead and move into some news. But before we get into some news, let's just talk about Text Extender really quickly. Because,
yes.
And so obviously this is an ad, people, because we love Text Expander.
We do. And they love us.
I have been using Text Expander so much in this past couple of weeks because of the fact that the E-League is coming up. My mentorship experience is what I call it. And I don't know. I know that, Jess, I texted you yesterday about, you know, a title that I was kind of messing around with some ideas of how to market the E-League. And I said, I need a title. And then you sent me all this information. But I could tell, I mean, it's really hard to write the E-League, right? So it's capital T for the, and then E-League is capital E, and then there's a dash, and then it's capital L. And that's like super annoying to write. And I look at that, and every time I look at it, I like the way that it looks, but it's really annoying to type it. So now all I have to do is type T-T-H-E. And every time I type T-T-H-E, then the E-League just pops up, like the entire phrase with capitalized with the dash and all that stuff. So I've been saving myself so much work because every time I write it, it's super easy because I'm using Text Expander, which is an app that expands into larger text from small shortcuts. And it's supported, again, in my app on my phone as well, because there is a text expander mobile. It is also available for Windows and obviously Mac desktop and all that kind of stuff. And it's super exciting. And I mean, it's part of my workflow. I'm never not using Text Expander. And if you go to textexpander.com/podcast, you get 20% off of your first year. Okay. So it's a landing page when you go to Text Expander.
And you're welcome, because everyone I know that uses Text Expander is totally obsessed with it.
Yeah. It's insane. I mean, all of the little things that you keep typing, and it's so helpful. So textexpander.com/podcast. And on the landing page, there's a drop down with all of these names with the podcasts that they support. And if you would pick us, that would be awesome. Go ahead and pick us and you'll get 20% off of your first year. So yay.
Right on. The news you can use. For the informed podcaster. Podcasting news.
I'm really concerned about all of these news that happened this week. What the heck?
There is a lot of podcasting news happening. I don't particularly think it's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. It means that these people are learning their lesson, which I enjoy.
I love people learning their lessons as well. So the first thing that came up this week was that BuzzFeed is cutting their podcast team. And they used to call themselves the Pod Squad. How about that, Jess? Doesn't that sound familiar?
Very familiar, as a matter of fact. I keep hearing about the Pod Squad.
Yeah, I know. So they used to be, you know, called the Pod Squad, but I was really surprised by seeing that that they cut that whole thing. And then, but you actually explained it to me because I didn't bother to read the article. I just read the headline and saw some stuff on Twitter. So what do you think about BuzzFeed cutting down the podcast team?
I mean, their best thing that they do is video. I don't think that they were really zoned in on podcasts per se. They had a whole production team, but they didn't really need that. They need that production team for video. Their videos are amazing and they put a lot of care and time into it. I don't know that they have the staff nor the passion for doing audio the way that they do video. So they did say that they were going to help develop shows still, just not with their own in-house production team, that they'll probably get involved in shows that are either already being done or develop with like Panoply, who's the reply all guy? Gimlet. You know, somebody who develops shows as like a side business too, like Gimlet does that.
Yeah. And we'll see, when you put it that way, I was like, well, and then I started reading some more of their articles about these news, right? And part of it is that what they were doing is they were just streamlining what was going out, right? Because they didn't meet their quarterly goals were. They missed it by quite a bit, actually. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So what they've been doing is that they cut all of these things. They are going to be focusing on video. But one of the strategies that they're putting together is that they're going to be hiring the teams to come in and work on projects. So instead of having people on staff doing all this stuff,
exactly.
They're just going to say, we're going to develop a podcast. We are going to hire these people and they're going to come in and do the thing, right? So it's a smart move. The thing that really bothers me, though, is that their podcasts were actually incredibly well-developed. They had some of the most diverse expression of hosts and topics that I've seen anywhere. If you were just going to take what some of these networks were putting out, BuzzFeed had, oh my gosh, they had such a diverse amount of voices in there. And I'm not talking just about race. I'm talking about topics, and I'm talking about they ran the gamut of so much. And all of the hosts were really smart, and their personalities were very strong. They were very well produced. And I guess it saddens me to see that. But at the same time, seeing that larger corporations.
Do you realize how many shows they have?
They have a bazillion of them.
They have like 20. Yeah, they have 20 shows.
Well, still, that's a lot.
Well, once they did another round and the other one, the one about the internet, after that, I've not heard anyone talking about any of these shows. Have you?
Yes, I have. But here's the thing, though, Jess. Does the fact that nobody's talking about these shows make these shows not valuable as assets to shift cultural narratives? I don't think so. They make them less valuable for somebody who's trying to make money and not spend more money. So whenever a corporation starts to make cuts, that's what they're going to cut. They're just going to cut that because podcasting isn't a cash cow. Podcasting isn't going to build audiences right away. Podcasting is going to probably end up costing you a lot more money than you are making on it. And it's a long tail game.
Well, but the reason they got into it was to make money. It's the reason most of these guys got into it, to make money. It wasn't to make a statement about culture. Like, people can do that on their own time without having to spend BuzzFeed's million dollars on podcasts when they're already spending so much on video and it's working. It is making them money. So of course they're going to cut podcasting. It doesn't mean it's not good content. It just means that somebody else should be doing it who doesn't have to spend that kind of money on it, I guess.
Exactly. No, and I'm just putting that out there in the sense that they are now seeing the reality of what it takes to podcast consistently and what it really means to the bottom line. And that if a company is starting a podcast because they want to get more cash, the cash flow, if you will, if they actually want to raise revenue by creating a podcast, I would advise against that because that's not what the podcast is going to do. So it's not a solution to the money issue. So even you guys that are starting podcasts because you feel having a podcast is for some reason going to make you millions of dollars, I would venture to say that that's not true. And for you to really assess why you want to come into the podcasting space. But that said, though, there are people. Let's look at this audio boom story that I just put in here because I think it's very interesting, too. So Audioboom launches a new podcast, and they're doing this with a billboard and a TV promo campaign. Have you seen this gigantic thing here happening? You see where it's...
No, let me take a look.
What do you think about this?
Where are they advertising? I know, I understand the billboard. That's a great idea.
In Texas.
I said they're doing this in Texas, but again, yes, you have to be able to get your podcast in front of people that are not podcasters or not podcast listeners. You got to go out there and get the people that don't know much about podcasting. So to me, I think that's a great idea. But the problem is it costs money, like mucho money.
I wonder why they would do Texas. Texas must have the strongest number of true crime listeners because they're a British company and it's hosted by a British journalist. Unless the guy's from Texas who they're investigating. I'm just curious, like, why... Oh, because it's a location featured in the podcast. All right. The TV ads will appear on Top 30 and Dish Nation, as well as podcasts of those programs. Ads will be heard in other shows as well. I mean, that's really interesting. I think, we know that podcast advertising works for podcasts. I know that already. I don't know how they're going to measure whether or not the billboard works, because that's one of the few types of advertising where you're just kind of like throwing shit. You're just throwing money down the toilet. How are you going to know? I guess you'll know if you have a lot of listeners from Texas, but you probably will anyway if there's a location featured in the show in Texas.
So, I mean, good on them for trying something different, right?
I think it's cool. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, Dr. Death, I think, had television, didn't it? I think it does. I don't remember now.
I don't know enough to comment on that. I know that they did have, for sure. I mean, look at the support they got from Apple, though, for the Dr. Death premiere. I mean, I think I'm not sure if the entirety of Apple themselves, but at least Steve Wilson, who is the head of marketing for Apple, did tweet out an image of himself at a listening party for Dr. Death. And he was wearing those little blackout mask thingy-majiggers on your head, on your eyes, and it said Dr. Death on it, and he tweeted that out. I mean, if that's like, that's endorsement of some kind or support, right? But see, I like the idea. I'd be very interested to see how it works out for them. And they're testing out some waters, and Audioboom makes some big decisions all the time. Although, I do have to say that I've been kind of a little wary of
their... They are a company of rash decision-making. They are like the most bipolar company. First, they're bankrupt. Now, they're spending money on a billboard.
Yes.
what the frig, if you think about it, is that even responsible?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, it seems to me they make decisions, I think, based on exactly what you're talking about. I think you just mentioned this. Like, they're just like throwing spaghetti at the wall. You know, it's like, okay.
Whimsy?
We'll see if this works.
What's life without whimsy? Let's just go for it.
Well, I would think that advertising is trying, you have to get your numbers up. So the best way to do that is through advertising. They say if you don't advertise your business, that the next time you do any advertising is when you're advertising it going out of business. So I don't know. I mean, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, it's true.
And then, you know, billboards I like because people are in the car. And my first thing is bored of the radio. Here's the blah, blah, blah podcast. You know, just as, and then someone's like, oh, a podcast. Let me check that one out. I know I would.
You know, one thing that billboards really have going for them is that there's a lot of people who have the same routes, like they actually go in the same place every single day. So if, let's say, somebody is doing their job and they're going to wherever 5 days a week, that means they're going to be exposed to that thing. At first, it's going to be like, oh, what is that? Oh, wait, what does that say? Oh, dead man talk. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, and then again, and the more they see it, the more they're going to go, okay, what is this dead man talking thing? Because it just keeps coming up. I think that there's power in that, where there's going to be a point when people are going to go like, okay, why not listen? What is this podcast thing?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Eh.
Sirius buying Pandora. That's kind of a big deal.
That is kind of a big deal, dude.
It's a pretty big deal.
I was kind of surprised. Mind you, though, Sirius, it seems like Sirius XM had already invested in Pandora. Like, they had, I don't know what percentage of stock ownership of Pandora already. So they've had a relationship for a while now.
The massive merger will help it to grow its ad business and subscription offerings. I didn't know that the app Pandora needed that kind of help. I was under the impression that they do not.
Is it Pandora? Is it Sirius XM?
No, I think it's Sirius the other way. I think it's the other way around,
bought
Jess.
Pandora.
That Pandora is going to help. Pandora is going to help Sirius with their subscription stuff.
Yeah, that's actually what I meant, was because I think Pandora is probably bigger than Sirius XM, and Sirius XM is going to need help pretty soon because their biggest guy is probably going away soon. Their biggest draw.
Mm-hmm.
Pandora's search for a buyer is over. Sirius, which previously invested in $480 million, is now acquiring it outright. Sure enough, Pandora's CEO, who took over from interim CEO after co-founder announced he was leaving, says the massive merger will help it to grow its ad business and subscription offerings. So it's not saying which one needs help. The combination creates the world's largest audio entertainment company with more than $7 billion in expected pro forma revenue in 2018, said Sirius XM in a blog post announcing the buyout. All right, let me go to the blog post. Hold on.
Yeah. And also part of it, too, though, I mean, it's really interesting to start to think about how many people already know what Sirius XM is. Right. And I think Dave Jackson. Hey, Dave. I think Dave Jackson also mentioned that he has this like love hate relationship with Sirius, where it's like, well, it's not that he hates it, but he'll start the subscription and then he'll quit and then he'll start again and he'll quit. And so it's one of those things where there's a lot of people that have done that. They've got the little devices. They know what Sirius XM is. And I mean, just the possibility, though, guys, if Pandora does in some way start to open up podcasting into, you know, in the same way that Spotify did,
Oh my God, that would be
incredible.
They
are now merging it with the Sirius XM, and it would be so fun.
That would be incredible.
To be able to just do that with podcasts, right? I mean, that would be fun. I'd like that.
That would be incredible. The article says Pandora will benefit from Sirius XM's scale, industry expertise, and financial resources. Duh. Sirius XM will benefit from Pandora's mobile strength, digital presence, and ad capability. That actually makes sense because Sirius XM is huge and they have tons of money, but Pandora is mobile and nobody listens to Sirius XM on mobile. And I do mean nobody. Like, I even pay for it and I never ever listen to it on mobile, because why would I when I have Spotify? It just makes no sense. I only listen to Sirius XM in the car.
Yeah, I don't think that I feel Sirius XM really just didn't do well is when in that transition. They were so like thinking forward in terms of the cars, which was great, but then there was the transition between cars and the home, and then it was like didn't you have to have some little devices or something that it's the only thing that you could use to listen in your house was a special little gadget of sorts.
I mean, I can do it on Alexa.
So when Howard Stern decided to go to SiriusXM, when he announced it, I was in Delaware. And I drove to the Circuit City that's about a block and a half from Jess's house.
Oh, my
house.
God. I know Circuit City.
Right. And I was there, and I walked in, and I said, I want to buy a Sirius radio. And the guy goes, why? And I said, because Howard Stern just announced that he's going to Sirius. So I bought that. So then once I got that, then I had to try to get the one for the house. Now you got to get the antenna. You got it out the window. You're moving it to the left. You're moving it to the right. It was such a pain in the rear end. My SiriusXM radio was stolen out of my car 3 times. So, yeah,
then
it was ridiculous. So finally, when Howard went to 3 days a week, I was like, what am I paying for? The best of? Mm-hmm. And I just finally dropped it because that's all I listened to was Howard Stern and Howard Stern's channel. I never listened to the music. I never listened to anything else. And to be honest with you, I really didn't even miss it. So the great thing that SiriusXM is for people that do like over the road trucking, and this way you don't have to go from radio station to radio station to radio station. You can leave it on one radio station and drive from here to Timbuktu and back and never have to change the station. So yeah, that's their biggest thing. But for me right now, in 2 weeks I'm going to be taking an 8-hour car ride, so I'm already figuring out how many podcasts I have to load in my phone to make a 8-hour car ride up and an 8-hour car ride back.
Oh my God.
I don't listen to, I swear I don't listen to radio. The other day, the kids put the music on and I said, I'm going to hit a pole if you don't turn this music off. I can't take it. I'm officially an old man. I can't handle today's music. It's horrible.
Their music is terrible. I agree. It's terrible. And I do use it for going through several main stations, like there's Howard and a few other comedy ones, but then there's also, there's a rock series. Like I left my car with my ex-husband so he could take care of Isaac while I was in New York. And when I come back, it was on an FM radio station. And I was like, is this a commercial? Like, I was so irritated because like, I was like, I have no control over what's coming next. I have to get out of here. Like, it was a nightmare. It was a full nightmare when at least if you're on like Yacht Rock, you have an idea of what's going to come next, or classic vinyl or hip hop from the 90s. Like, it's pretty specific. Whereas like the regular radio and even Pandora, you have control over too. So in that way, they're similar, but.
And I mean, with Spotify, if you pay for Spotify and you pay for Apple Music or you pay for one of these other ones, like with Apple Music, what I do is I have like 4 or 5 playlists. So when I go into my car, it's downloaded to my phone. I plug it in. I just whatever rock playlist, whatever oldies, old hip hop playlist, I just hit that and it plays. And I really never listen to the radio except for local sports. You know, our area's local sports station. It's really the only thing I ever listen to radio for.
Not the me.
But anyway, coming back to the SiriusXM thing and the Pandora stuff, we will keep an eye out, guys. This was where the little eye emoji would come up. Like if we had like somehow like 3D podcast listening experiences, you'd see like a little eyes come up right in front of you right now. We're going to keep an eye out on this story.
Yes, we should.
But again, though, but see, it's not all like doom and gloom. Vox Media is also expanding. I mean, it's sort of like the opposite story that BuzzFeed did. It's sort of like Vox Media itself is literally just putting more of their eggs into the expansion basket, if you will, by growing what they're doing in there so that they're actually putting more money into the game. They're putting more resources into the game. They're hiring more people. It looks like they're putting a bunch of new shows. Like there's a new original nonfiction audio programming debuting in the fall. One of them is from Recode. It's called Pivot with Kara Swisher and Scott Galloway. They have Eaters Start to Sail, SB Nation's It Seems Smart, Vox Media's Function with Anil Dosh, and a new podcast from Vox to be detailed soon. So, I mean, it looks like they're expanding. Now, that said, though, they do have some really big luminaries in their, I guess, I don't even know what you call them, in Vox Media themselves. And also their listener base is very tech-heavy, I think. People who don't necessarily, like, they're not trying to appeal to the same audience as BuzzFeed is trying to appeal to. Vox Media is appealing to, I would say, about 80 to 90% of the people who listen to their podcasts are already listeners to podcasts. They're used to the technology. They're used to engaging in this way. They are like above average in the usage of whatever technology they're doing. They're the ones that buy the latest phones. They're the ones that are interested in how technology is affecting culture. They're the ones that really know the minutia of all of the things that happen. So I see it as a win too, but it seems like there's a lot of moving here. And I think companies that know how to leverage podcasting and how they have already built existing audiences, because The Verge cast is pretty well known, as well as Kara Swisher, just herself is somewhat of a like super famous person, like as a major luminary. For me, it's like being on the stage with Kara Swisher would be like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm, that would be so scary.
Totally. I totally get it.
Well, the other thing that they did was they took SB Nation, which has a podcast for every NFL team, 32 teams. So if you're, let's say I'm in Philadelphia, but I'm a fan of the Oakland Raiders. Oh, I can't get Oakland. Well, I guess I could now with the internet. But so you can listen to a podcast about what's going on with that team. So there's, you know, and so that's all the way from basically September to February that you could be listening to these podcasts. Well, they're all year round because they do the draft and all that other stuff. So they're always talking that. So they have that too. So that would bring in a lot of people.
Yeah. I think they really know their audience. You know, they know their audience. Vox Media is they know who they are that they're appealing to. Whereas the other companies out there, I feel, are still trying to figure out who the audience is, right? They're like, this is going to be the best person. And then they realize that that's not going to happen. So let's just appeal to these people. And it's just their audience acquisition, or even who their main person is. They don't know who that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a shame.
So Vox Media expansion. So yay. But now, so what do you think about the Instagram founders exiting Facebook, Jess?
I mean, it's kind of like when you texted me what you said, like, did they really think that Facebook was going to keep their nose out of Instagram? Like, they must have been crazy. So
that's right.
I see why they bowed out, but I hope that doesn't mean that Instagram's going to become like Facebook, because it's well-loved for not being that way. Like, as Facebook's brand becomes tarnished, even though it's owned by Facebook, it's not had the same problem. So I'll be very interested to see if they're going to cause some trouble or what. I hope not, because I really like Instagram.
You know they're going to be over there sticking their nose in. They're already, that's one of the reasons they're why they're leaving.
It,
they're already sticking their nose over in it. Zuckerberg's already over there because they have a feeling that that's where their revenue is going to be coming from.
Well, especially as they fuck up Facebook.
Right.
It's kind of sad, but it's true.
I think the bottom line is that the reason that they left is exactly why the Snapchat people left. It's exactly why most founders leave when they are acquired, is that the original brand is no longer going to reflect the mission or the vision that they started the company around. And it is kind of one of those things where Facebook was just coming in too many times and wanting to do things their way. And they finally, it was one of those things where they finally recognized and they were said, like, you know what? This constant fight every day isn't going to work. Instagram is no longer the company or the app that we created. And it would be like, for me, I would be like, it is going to be too hard for me to watch you destroy it. And I'm bowing out. I can't watch this happen. Not while I'm in it. Especially with what you were talking about before, where it's like the tarnished brand that Facebook is constantly working against. Oh, another Facebook debacle, right? Versus Instagram's never had anything like that happen. I mean, I think that the bad stuff that's happened has been from like somebody who's been posting, you know, the sponsored ads, like the celebrities that weren't disclosing. And then I think that there was some things that they put out. I actually don't even know. I'm trying to come up with something. Like, was there something else that Instagram like was in the news for? But I was like,
I wonder how much Facebook bought Instagram for, because the founders probably have screw you money. So they don't even really need to work. You know, they were doing as a love of their product. And now they said they're going off. Hey, listen, we're going to go off and invent something else amazing. Maybe. but we're not doing this anymore. Right.
That's what I would have done. Bye-bye. Bye out. Bow out to.
See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya.
Oh my God.
We have a great Weird and Wild. Let's tell them all about it.
Weird and Wild.
Weird and Wild.
Weird and Wild. Show of the week.
Okay.
All right. So this one's actually a Weird and Wild from our listeners. How about that? I like that. This was suggested by Daniel.
Daniel J. Lewis. DJL.
He told us to look at the Karen and Ellen letters.
Yes.
So you want to read what
it's
about?
We'll have the link in the show notes so you guys can see it, but it does sound incredibly interesting. The Karen and Ellen letters is a true tale of two girls, their found correspondence, and a journey deep into cognitive dissonance. The podcast chronicles host Josh Hallmark's 12-year obsession with finding out the truth behind a stack of bizarre letters he received for his 24th birthday. It is equal parts comedy and mystery. That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's a really fun idea for a show, don't you think?
I know. And it says that it's like two teenage girls and their landlord.
Oh, yeah. It's between them and their landlord. So weird.
It's just so bizarre. Like, I like it. So we are going to have to I'm going to have to check it out. At least one episode of this thing. And I'll have a link in the show notes so you guys can check it out. So thank you, Daniel, for letting us know about that. The Karen and Ellen letters. Another one that I thought was interesting was this one, which the cops, these are police officers who have started a podcast to see if they can find a fugitive millionaire. So there's that. These guys like took over the news. Like when I was looking at the news cycle, I was like, oh my God, these cops are getting a lot of press. So thank you, police officers, for getting in the game.
Well, I'll tell you what, internet people are very resourceful. I remember one time somebody did some kind of video where there was a flag behind them, and the people got in there and looked at the angle of the flag and the time of the day or whatever, and they pinpointed exactly where that guy was. So if I was this fugitive millionaire, I'd be awful worried.
That sounds really cool. And I cannot believe they're trying to find a fugitive. I can't believe the balls that a fugitive would have in pot. Oh, wait. No. I have it wrong. The millionaire's not podcasting, no. Right?
No, the fugitive is not
Dude,
podcasting.
No.
I dare you to come get
it's
me, coppers.
I was like, how are they going to find him? Such a dumbass.
I'm over here, coppers.
No, the Newport. This is like the Newport Beach Police Department. They're
the ones
that are
looking.
Using
a podcast to make sure people know about him. Oh, my God. I'm so dumb.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. So that's
dumb.
Why I thought, oh, my God. Lots of coverage. So police officers are getting very smart at trying to catch criminals this way. Anyway, that's crazy. But speaking of like kind of crazy things, I am doing the E-League again this last part of the year. And I want you guys to apply if you have been thinking about doing the E-League, especially if you want to kind of take your podcasting, whatever mission or vision that you have going on for next year, because I'm going to see if I can in some way get you guys access to a special podcast episode that I created just for the E-Leaguers to tell them like what my journey has been because of last year's work. Doing this. So I was incredibly floored by how planning really matters, and planning is so strong in making sure that you move into wherever it is that you need to go as a podcaster. So I will have a link in the show notes and you guys can check it out and see what to expect for the E-League. Yay!
E-League!
And hey, September 30th is International Podcast Day. What are you doing for International Podcast Day, Jessica Kupferman?
Well, since this is the day after that they're going to hear it, what I've done is a session yesterday at noon on Audio Influence. But I was just telling you we can market it on social, but right. We probably shouldn't talk about it. That's all.
That would be awesome. Of course, we'll put it on all over there. And yeah. One last little bit before we kind of finish the show here, I'm an ambassador, really, or an advocate for this initiative
Mother's Quest show.
called the Women Podcasters in Solidarity Initiative that is being led by Julie Neal and Christine Downs, and Julie Neal of Mother's Quest and Christine Downs of Notable Woman. And it really uses the power of podcasting to invite podcasters and their listeners to raise their awareness on critical social justice issues through the power of conversation. You guys can go check anything out over at mothersquest.com/solidarity to sign up. And for more details, I'll be talking about this in each episode so that you guys could really know what this is about. And I'm really excited to be part of this initiative.
Yeah, that's awesome. Tell them the link one more time, just to make sure they have it.
It is mothersquest.com/solidarity.
All right. Awesome. Thank you guys so much for listening today. If you would like any of the links that we just discussed, please check out our show notes, shepodcast.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at shepodcast. And if you'd like to send us a message, you can use our website to send us a voice message, or you can send us an email at feedback@shepodcast.com. Also, if you've gotten any useful information out of this show and or you would like to join us for special VIP Q&As in a group called the She Podcast Super Squad, head over to our Patreon. It's patreon.com/shepodcast and sign up for at least the $5 level. We would be happy to have you and give you our individual and customized attention on all your podcasting needs. So check that out too. patreon.com/shepodcast. Thank you guys so much again for listening. Love you.
Mean it.
Bye.